First Chronicles chapter 28. First Chronicles chapter 28. We'll be reading verses 1 through 10. And first I'm going to go to the Lord and ask him for his help. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day that you've given us. I thank you for the blessing of Family Month and all the wonderful truths from the Bible that we have to apply to our lives. And Lord, I want to be a help to our church today. I want to be a blessing to your people and an encouragement to those who don't know you to come. And Lord, I need your help. I pray for your blessing, the filling of your Spirit upon me. Lord, that I can preach this truth in a manner that's worthy of you. And Lord, we ask that each person would be attentive and have their hearts softened and open and their eyes open, their ears open to receive and to believe the truth from the Word of God, that it would be applied to all of our lives and we'd be blessed for it in you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First Chronicles chapter 28, starting in verse 1. The Bible tells us, "And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the kings by course, and the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and of his sons, with the officers, and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Thank you. Please be seated. As we continue with Family Month this afternoon, we're going to look at a very important topic, which is the will of a godly father. The will of a godly father. Now, this is something we will consider primarily from the father and son relationship that we see between David and his son Solomon. But there are many ways for each of us here today to make personal application of this, because the focus is on the importance of good, godly leadership. So these principles can apply to all sorts of relationships. It can apply to a pastor in his church. It can apply to a business owner and his employees. It can apply to any parent, mother, father, and their children. And it's also going to allow for self-examination for everyone, every person, whether you're saved or lost, with the commands to obey God's word and to seek him with a pure heart and with a willing mind. Why? Because the promise we just read from God's word is, if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. In the context of our Bible text from 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we find King David nearing the end of his reign. We also see him nearing the end of his life. So that tells us about David now. He is well placed in years and experience. And what he's saying is coming from the point of view of the will of a godly father. That's David for his son. What we're going to focus on from these scriptures today will be the exhortation, the experience, and the example. So let's begin with the exhortation. The exhortation. Now back in verse 1 of our text, we find how David's exhortation is for all. It's for everyone to respond to and to apply to their lives. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 1. The Bible tells us, "And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and his sons, with the officers, and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem." So remember the types of relationships we just mentioned before when it comes to personal application of these things. It all comes down to good, godly leadership. And that's only going to come, which we also will see, by knowing the Lord. It comes by knowing the Lord, which is part of David's exhortation to his son Solomon. This first part of the exhortation we find from David is built upon God's word. It comes from what God said to him about Solomon. So please see verses 6 and 7 with me. Verses 6 and 7, the Bible tells us, "And he said unto me," this is God speaking to David, "Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day." So please, again, notice this. God gave David his own word. It was a promise here from the Lord. There was a plan to follow for Solomon's life, and if he obeyed it, it led to the Lord's promise that he would establish his kingdom forever. But the requirement David received from the Lord was that Solomon had to be constant to do my commandments and my judgments. So the Lord gives this same requirement to us as godly fathers or as godly parents today. Think of the parallels that we have here with our own lives today. We also, as parents, have the scriptures. We have God's word. We have also the command to obey the word of the Lord in our own lives first. And we also have the command to instruct our children to do the same. Same thing with David and Solomon. Now David continues with this exhortation as his will as a godly father, which is aligned with the perfect will of our heavenly Father. And we see this in verses 8 and 9. 1 Chronicles 28, 8 and 9, the Bible tells us, "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." So think of the things that David saw as being of utmost importance for Solomon. First, David said, "Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." The first thing is to know the Lord. You must know the Lord. And this is not something that you can preach effectively to your own children if you don't know him. David said, "You need to know my God, the God of thy father. And after you know him, you are to serve him only with a perfect heart and a willing mind." And David's pointing to himself again as he says, "Keep his commandments." Not just keep them, keep his commandments as I do. Seek after him as I do. Is the same teaching that the Lord gave his people from Deuteronomy 30:19. Listen to this verse from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. The Lord said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. This is exactly what David is saying to his son. It is the will of a godly father to give his children Bible truth, to teach sound doctrine and impart this simple understanding. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. So it comes down to simple obedience to God's word. Yes, it is that easy. It is to hear the word of the Lord, to believe it, and to obey it. That was David's will for his son, the will of a godly father. That's my will for my children, and it should be the same will for you today, if you're a parent, for your own house. Now, David continues this thought in chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles. If you could please turn forward there. This is part of a prayer from David, a godly father's prayer for his son in 1 Chronicles 29. We'll see verses 18 and 19. The Bible tells us, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. We see again within David's prayer the importance of keeping thy heart with all diligence. Amen? We find it also written in Proverbs chapter 4. This was learned and written by Solomon. It was the effect his father had on him to pen these things down. It's what he lived in his home. And also throughout Psalm 119, we find the phrase, my whole heart. It's mentioned repeatedly, my whole heart. It's mentioned for keeping God's law. It's mentioned for observing God's law. It's mentioned for keeping God's precepts and for keeping his statutes. David understood the importance of a perfect heart, purity of heart before the Lord. It was vital for Solomon to have the same. David understood the importance of what we find in Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So David cried out in the anguish of his own sin in Psalm 51, verse 10, to create in me a clean heart, O God. Why did David emphasize this when we consider the context of the will of a godly father? Because David was well acquainted with failure. With failure. He knew what it was to fail the Lord. He knew what it was to be disobedient. He knew what it was like to have his heart wander from the will of God. And that leads us into our next point, which is the experience. The experience. And one of the most important tools we have as parents is our experience, real life experience. Children do not have this. That gives us the ability to analyze a situation and advise our children. Why? Because we have either, number one, made this mistake before and have already learned from it and want to prevent them from going down the same road, or number two, we have the necessary life experience to be able to foresee and predict an outcome fairly well based on a situation. So for the saved parent, whose will it is to see their children come to Christ and live their lives as servants of God, disciples of the Lord, we have this powerful combination. We have not only our own life experience, both successes and failures, which we can use to teach valuable life lessons from, but we will also be leaning implicitly on God's word as our foundation, just as David did with Solomon. The will of a godly father for his children is to know the Lord, to know the Lord, to seek after him and obey him completely, because that is what the success of our experience is measured by as well. So God put us in charge of our children because they are not capable of making sound decisions and judgments consistently. And this will vary from child to child, and it may improve as children get older, especially if they come to know the Lord. But a godly father will protect his children from themselves. And Proverbs 22:15 tells us, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Yes, children make foolish decisions. Yes, children do foolish things. This is why we discipline them and train up a child in the way he should go. And as children grow up and they start to feel they're getting older and they're becoming wise and getting into their ripe old seasoned age of the 20s and the 30s, parents are going to outpace them, right? No matter how old your child gets, you're always going to be older. You're always going to have more experience. You're always going to be a worthy advisor for your child, even when they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s. You'll be 60, 70, 80. That's valuable life experience, especially for someone who's been studying the Word of God all that time. But our experience, in order to be the best godly father, the best parents that we can be, it must be rooted and grounded in the truth of God's Word. And I know as parents, we all want success for our children in this world, and more importantly, we want success for them into eternity. But what is your standard and your measurement for success for your children? How do we define that as godly fathers, godly parent? Are we going to measure it by the world standards or by the Lord's? The answer really is so simple. The difficult part is if you truly believe it or not. It's all about obedience to the Lord, to trust in him with all thine heart, to lean not on your own understanding. The Lord gave Joshua this formula for success from Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8, God said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." David understood this. He knew it because he lived it out as a personal example. And his will was to pass this on to his own son based on his own personal victories and his own failures. David loved God's word, and he wanted to teach that love to his children and see it passed on from generation to generation. Now that needs to be our desire as well, as saved parents for our children, a heritage, a tradition of the word of God in our family. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'll ask you to turn there. The pastor was here this morning for some of these verses, but this is a text that David was familiar with. I'm sure he loved these scriptures from Deuteronomy chapter 6. He studied them. He put them into practice. The sentiment that we find in these verses is proclaimed throughout what David wrote himself. And these same things should be heavy on our hearts. They should be on our minds for our own family. So please see Deuteronomy chapter 6 starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, and all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So David had great experience with the law of the Lord, and it made him an effective witness as well. There was life experience with good success, and there was life experience with failure. And we find it mentioned in both 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel how David inquired of the Lord. David inquired of the Lord. Over and over we find this. Why did he do this? He wanted to make sure he was staying in the Lord's will. Because if he did, he knew things would go well with him. David's experience taught him to obey God's commandments, statutes, and judgments so that he would be prosperous and have good success, just like the Lord instructed to Joshua. This was also David's will for his children and his children's children as his position as a godly father. This must also be our practice and our will for our families. Now think of the experience that David had in his failures. We're all familiar with how David became an adulterer and a murderer. These great sins were against the Lord. And David understood this. When he was confronted by Nathan the prophet, he was asked in 2 Samuel 12:9, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do this evil in his sight?" He despised God's law in his sin. In David's Psalm of Repentance, Psalm 51, he acknowledged his transgression and said in verse 4, "Against thee, thee only, I have sinned and done this evil in thy sight." So pay attention, mothers, fathers, leaders, everyone. God will not be mocked. There is a price to pay for despising the commandment of the Lord. For David's sin of adultery and murder, Nathan delivered the word of the Lord's judgment. Why? Because for a time, the Bible tells us, David despised the Lord and his law. 2 Samuel 12, verse 10 tells us, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." How that must have cut David to his heart, to know that he despised his Lord that he loved. He despised God's law that he loved. The Lord continued to tell David how evil would rise against him in his own house, and the things that he did in secret would be done to him before all of Israel. Talk about being able to speak as an authority to your child on the absolute necessity to have full obedience to the Lord. He had that experience. Now, our children ought to learn from our experience and also the examples we have all throughout the scriptures. There's another great failure of David, which is found in 2 Samuel 24. If you'd like to turn there, 2 Samuel 24, we learn of David being provoked to take a census of Israel. Now, David had no right to do this. Israel was the Lord's possession, and it was not David's. It did not belong to him. The glory wasn't his. Even Joab realized this was a sin before the Lord. He tried to talk David out of it. This is another great failure by David. But so much attention goes towards Uriah and Bathsheba. But please see 2 Samuel 24, starting in verse 10. The Bible tells us, "And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David, and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies, while they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise, and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. In this epic failure, we find not one man's life taken, like Uriah the Hittite, but 70,000 men. David wisely chose to put himself at the mercy of the Lord, but there still was an enormous price to pay. There was an enormous judgment rendered. It caused David to cry out in verse 17 of this chapter, and David spake unto the Lord, and he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. Let this experience of David sink in deeply to all those who are in a position of leadership in our homes or leadership anywhere else. Our choices, our decisions, our actions have consequences, especially when they go in opposition to God's will and to God's law. And we find this truth throughout the scriptures. We've seen it in the failures of David that we mentioned. We've seen it with Achan, his sinning against the Lord. It cost him not only his own life, but the life of his children as well. We've seen it with Daniel, when certain men deceived King Darius to have Daniel tossed into the lion's den. What happened next? Darius commanded those false accusers to be cast into the den of lions along with their wives and their children. These are sobering warnings that are given to us from the Word of God. Just as our children are to learn from our experiences, we can learn from the experiences of other godly men and other godly women whose experiences have been preserved in the Word of God for us. But as parents, we cannot have rules for thee and not for me. We cannot have do as I say, not as I do. What we preach and teach, if it is truly our will for our children, as a godly father, as a godly mother, we must be living out the example ourselves. We must be. Christ is to be our life first. And everyone around us, including our children, is not going to care about anything that we say if our actions and our lifestyle contradicts our words. And that brings us to the final point of the example. The example. So the simple truth for good, godly parenting or godly leadership in any capacity starts with keeping and seeking the commandments of God for ourselves. If it is our will to have our children live godly lives, then we must take pleasure in doing the same and in living out that example before them. And if we are saved and living in full obedience to God's word, and we're submitted and sensitive to the leadership of his Holy Spirit in our lives, then we know the Lord will honor our prayers that we have for our children. All prayers, starting with our children to come to Christ to be saved. We have this wonderful verse in 1 John 3:22 where the Bible tells us, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So think about the great impact that David had on the life of his son Solomon. Even in his failures and in his shortcomings, David was able to impart biblical truth to his son. As a result, Solomon knew to ask the Lord for wisdom and for knowledge to judge his people. God answered that prayer and then some, adding many blessings to it as well. But there's a great example, another one we're going to look at as we move to start to close, that we find was successfully passed from David to Solomon. And that was the will of a godly father to instruct his children in God's law, his statutes, his precepts, his judgments. I want you to consider this first. In the book of Proverbs, before we move to the end, Solomon's writing many things. And in chapters 1 through 7 alone, you're going to find written over and over again, Solomon says, "My son, my son, my son," over and over again. It is like 16 times that his verse starts that way, beginning with Proverbs 1, verse 8, where it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Now, this instruction of the father and the law of the mother is to be based on God's word. And in the case of Solomon's writing, it most certainly is. And when you read through Proverbs, this portion, 1 through 7, all the topics you find throughout those chapters, Solomon's addressing things like sin, anger, pride, gossip, adultery, drinking and drunkenness, fear, foolishness, all these things. You also find him addressing things like discipline, family, love, and wisdom. Because of this, to me, I can say David was successful as being a godly father. His will was for his son to know the Lord, to obey, and to seek after him. Now, we know Solomon had his shortcomings as well, but we find this spiritual fruit continued from his life in the scriptures. And we will also take a brief look now at another man in David's lineage who had a very unique and important task. This man is Joseph. Joseph, the husband of Mary, who was tasked with being the earthly father figure for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an important example for us to look at, because for the godly father or the godly leader of any home, we must maintain an upright walk before the Lord, and to stay in obedience, to stay in prayer, and to stay in fellowship, to know and to understand God's will for us and for our family. So we looked at some consequences for sinning against the Lord, and now we will see the example of obedience. So please turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. First verse we'll look at here, Matthew chapter 1, so we see in verse 18, the Bible tells us that Mary was espoused to Joseph, was found to be with child of the Holy Ghost before they came together, and then Matthew 1:19, it speaks of the character of Joseph. The Bible tells us in Matthew 1:19, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." So Joseph knew that the penalty for what man perceived Mary had done would be getting stoned to death. So he sought to separate privately and not make a public example out of her. So now let's consider some other verses here, and I'll tie it together at the end. Matthew 1, verse 20. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now please turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 13, the Bible says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt." Verse 15. "And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." Now continue with me in verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for for they are dead which sought the young child's life. The rest of the chapter tells us how Jesus came to be in Nazareth. But why this example? Why look to Joseph at the end of this sermon? What I'm trying to do here is to really magnify the importance of the role of the father and the spiritual leader of his home. The role of the father as the spiritual leader of his home. The Lord sent his messenger to Mary to reveal how she would be used as part of his plan. After that, all we see, all of the Lord's direction for their home, for their household, was given to the father. The will of a godly father is so important, and it will align with God's will for us if we maintain obedience, if we follow after the Lord with a pure heart, willingly submitted to his word, trusting in it, following it, believing it, putting it into practice in our own lives first. Now, we all want our homes to be successful and serving the Lord, but if we are not saved personally and fully submitted to God, our example in the eyes of our family is going to be very poor at best. We want, and we mentioned that verse earlier from Joshua 1:8, but as a godly parent, a godly father, our will should be what's written on the wall right behind me. It should be our exhortation. It should be our experience, and it should be our example that we can say this. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That should be our desire. Not I'm going to serve the Lord. Not you're going to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. But it starts with the father first. It starts with the parent. It starts with the mother. And maybe things aren't lined up perfectly in your household, but if you put the scriptures and the principles of God's word into practice in your home, God will be faithful, miraculous, to work out all the rest. We can count on him to do that because he promised it in his word. Please stand to your feet as we close.